The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hello and welcome as we lift up Jesus with Pastor Dudley Rutherford. I'm Kyle Welch. Have you ever asked yourself the question, who is Jesus, or what does it mean to be saved? How about questions like, what is eternity? Or is there a real God, and where is he when I'm really suffering? These are just some of the topics we explore every day on this program. In these challenging times, we believe that God's Word is the source to all our answers. So if you can, get out your Bibles, and let's join Pastor Dudley right now with his message for us today.
I want to speak to you on the subject of making your past history. Making your past history. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Our lives today are the manifestation of choices that we've made in our past. Many of us have poisoned our future due to decisions we've made in years gone by. And in this series, we want to take back what the enemy has stolen from us. And I'm sure, like you, a lot of us wish that we could go back in time. How many of you would like to go back in time and redo some things? But we all know here today, you cannot turn back the hands of the clock. And so part of this series is trying to heal our past wounds. It's a process. It's a difficult process for some. But it's a journey that is necessary. Because again, we're never going to reach what God has called us to be until we learn to let go of some things in our past. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 12 verse 1, let us throw off everything that hinders. We always talk about the sin in this verse, but it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily, what, entangles, and allow us to run with perseverance this race that God has called us to run. And so it starts here today, right now. Understanding what God says about our past and how to let go and how to start over and how to put the past in the past. We've got a whole barrel full of issues that haunt us. Sometimes it's just past failures. Sometimes it's certain things that we are addicted to that just keep us from moving forward. There are abuses that some of us have experienced which come in different forms that can easily scar you for the rest of your life. Then there's this thing called toxic relationships or codependency. When someone else has controlled much of your life and you feel fearful of from ever being able to be set free. And then, of course, there are wrong decisions or what we would call sinful behavior. Whenever you're engaged in sin, that's 100% on you. You can't blame anyone else for your sins. But because of any and all of these issues, I just want you to know that here today, God still desires to see you rise above any of those issues. God desires here today to heal your pain and to set you free and to cover you with joy and allow you to breathe deeply and fully and to know without question that he still loves you and to see you unchained and unbound from the weight of your past so that you can live a life of audacious faith. Can someone say amen? So today in your outline, I've got two major areas of study. The first is the trouble of our past. The trouble of our past. And what we call the weight, because it's heavy, the weight of guilt and shame. Many of us, not all of us, But many of us live under a cloud of shame and condemnation. The Bible says in Genesis 1:27 that God created us in His image. And of course, here on this earth, we're supposed to reflect the holy God that we serve. And He created us to be vessels that would bring glory and honor to Him. However, anytime we choose to sin, anytime we choose to disobey, He put this thing within us. It's like a safety gauge. It's called a conscience. And a conscience is this little warning system, like a little bell that goes off. And when that alarm system goes off, it's not a yield sign that says continue on. No, it's more of a stop and turn around sign. Change directions. I drive what's called a Ford Explorer, and it has all these little warning lights that come on whenever something's wrong. And from time to time, it scares you. And they've got this thing on a Ford Explorer. I might be adjusting my radio or maybe grabbing a sip of water, and the entire steering wheel vibrates and buzzes, and a light comes on that says, keep hands on steering wheel. Now, just so you know, when I'm adjusting the radio, I'm not doing it with two hands. I have one hand on the steering wheel. I'm just kind of reaching over. And the whole thing starts vibrating, and it says, keep hands on the steering. How do they do that? But my question to you is, are those warning signs a good thing or a bad thing? Are you sure? That safety alarm, is it trying to keep me from having a good time? Or is it there to ensure that I'm alive? Well, the latter, of course, is true. Likewise, whenever we sin, whenever we disobey, there's this sense of guilt, there's a lack of joy, there's a lack of peace, there's times you can't sleep at night. Those are all warning signs, and the signs yell this, hey, put God, let God's hands back steering your life. Let God lead your life. The problem is when we fail to heed the warnings and continue to live destructive lives, the irrefutable weight of guilt and shame sets in and can lead you to a point of even greater despair and maybe even further depression. Now, all sins, everybody say all sins. They all start out small, just a little compromise here and there, just a little misdeed here and there, just a little misstep here and there, but it grows. And if it left unchecked, until eventually it destroys our life. James says in James 1:15, sin, when it is full grown, it leads to a thing called death. We allow and accept little arguments and disagreements in our marriage, and if left unchecked, eventually it can grow to where our marriage falls apart. We accept and allow little moments where we swear and curse, and eventually we can't talk without swearing at all. We allow and accept little views of pornography until eventually one day we are addicted to pornography. We allow and accept little bits of recreational drugs until we become full-fledged drug addicts. We allow and accept little bits of self-promotion and self-adoration until eventually we're so full of self and pride that we no longer need God in this life. And all of that comes with some measure of guilt. But the dangerous place to be is when you live with so much guilt, and I want you to write this down, where eventually you reach a point where you feel as though there's no pardon. More times than we can count, the weight and the guilt grows to a point where we think God can never forgive us for what we've done. And we all go through times where we disappoint those that we look up to, maybe a coach, a parent, a teacher, a pastor, a friend, a spouse. And there are times where we disappoint ourselves and we ask ourselves, how could I be so foolish? I've said things, I've done things that I simply can't undo. And then there are times where we know we've disappointed God, which is so deeply discomforting. But the worst feeling in the world is when you reach this point where you feel as if there's no pardon, that you've done something that no one will ever forgive you of, or that this mistake is so grave that you'll never recover from it. Perhaps the most dangerous position of all is when you no longer want to live because of your past mistakes, your past failures, your past experiences. But let me assure you here today that it's totally possible to be set free from your past and to live a life that is blessed, to live a life that is fulfilling, and to live a life that is joyful, and to live a life that is useful. Amen? You might be here today and you've made 1,000 mistakes and you've made 1,000 wrong decisions and you've done 1,000 things that you shouldn't have done. But I'm here to tell you today that there is still a pathway for you to be pardoned. There's a pathway for you to get out from underneath that guilt. There's a pathway for you to start anew. There's a pathway for you to be set free here today. And that leads me to the second half of this study, which is the triumph over our past. And I want to spend more time talking about how do we overcome that past? Because there is a way to be set free from that guilt and that shame. It was Ezekiel who said, "I will give them a new heart and a new spirit. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh." That which we think cannot be restored can be restored in a heartbeat. You see, Satan comes along and his desire is to kill, steal, and to what? To destroy. Well, I ask, kill what? Steal what? Destroy what? His desire is to kill, steal, and to destroy your soul. So if you're here today and you're feeling as if there's no pardon, there's no way out, that comes from the devil. If you're feeling that, then everything is going according to the devil's plan. If you feel as though there's no way out from your past, because God wants just the opposite. He wants you to know here today that regardless of what you've done in your past, there is a way out. Now, there's a difference between guilt and shame. I want you to write this down. Guilt is when you think and say and believe, "I did something bad." And you did. But shame is when you feel, "I'm a bad person." Guilt is a safety mechanism that God put inside of you. You should be thankful He put that in you. Shame, though, is an emotion that leads you to believe that you're worthless. Satan wants you to devalue yourself. Where God, on the other hand, places great value on you. And He does love you no matter what you do. He doesn't approve of any kind of sin. And I think we as Christians, we've justified too many things that we do, saying, "Well, God loves me anyway. He doesn't really care if I'm involved in these sins, whether they be little sins, medium-sized sins, or gigantic sins." And I just want you to know, I want you to hear it, that God doesn't approve of any kind of sin. Little sin, medium sin, big sin, all sins. God doesn't condone any of that. But God's desire is to cleanse you of that sin and to make you new again. So there are three windows that you have to look through clearly. Window number one, write this down, is the window of conviction. You have to reach a point where in the depths of your soul, you are convicted that all sin is wrong. Disobeying God in any form is wrong. Pride is wrong. Living for self is wrong. Lying is wrong. Lusting is wrong. And you're never going to get out from underneath the weight of guilt and shame until you first fall under this conviction that God's way is the right way. So this verse, 2 Corinthians 7:10, you should all know this verse. Have it underlined in your Bible, star, asterisks, exclamation marks, fingers pointing towards it. It says that godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. Guilt is actually a good thing if it leads you to repentance. Now, I've shared this with you before. Repentance is where if God's over here, you're not living for God, and you're living for what I call the three S's. There's three S's: sin, self, and Satan. And every day of your life, you get up and you're living for either sin, you're either living for self, or you're living for Satan. Repentance means that you turn away from sin, you turn away from self, you turn away from Satan, and instead of living for those things, you live for God. Jesus was the one who said in Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you're going to perish. In other words, if you keep living like that, you're going to die. And so the worst place to be is where you're living in sin and there's no remorse. There's no regret. You're living a lie and you're accepting that lie as normal. That's what's happening in the United States of America. We got people living in every imaginable way that goes against the things of God, and we're accepting those things as normal, and we are celebrating those things. Jeremiah 3, verse 3, God told Israel, you have the forehead of a prostitute. What does that mean to have the forehead of a prostitute? That means that you sin and you no longer blush over that sin. If you have any understanding of the holiness of God, if you have any understanding that God has called us to live a holy life because He's a holy God and He's called us to be a holy people, if when you sin, you don't have any remorse or guilt, It's the worst place you can be. But if you do sin and you have this remorse, it's a good thing if it turns you back to following after God. You see, there's a net positive effect if you once again fall underneath the conviction of the Holy Spirit and you fall underneath the conviction of the Word of God and you fall underneath the conviction of God's calling upon your life. That guilt causes you to turn back to God. It said that godly sorrow leads us to repentance and motivates you to say, I don't want to live that life any longer. I don't want to be the prodigal son any longer. I don't want to be the prodigal daughter any longer. I don't want to live on the wrong path any longer. If there's a conviction that there's a difference between right and wrong, good and evil, righteousness and unrighteousness, conviction sets in and turns you back to God. Now, I just want to say this. There is a difference between godly sorrow and what we call general sorrow. Those are two different things. General sorrow comes whenever we face the sadness over the loss of something that we love. We grieve deep when we experience the death of a parent, the death of a child, the death of a friend. That's normal sorrow. But that's different than godly sorrow. Godly sorrow is when your heart is broken over your sin. And sin is simply, by definition, a lot of people don't know how to define sin. Sin is just, by definition, is missing the mark of what God's called you to live.
It's a blessing for us to bring this program to you every day. We exist only by our faithful partners who support us through their prayers and financial gifts. If Pastor Dudley's message has been a blessing to you, we would like to encourage you to consider joining in partnership with us so we can continue to be here every day to bless others with this important ministry. Your gifts, whether large or small, are greatly appreciated and go directly to help keep us on the air. You can find out more about supporting us by calling our toll-free number, 888-818-4777. That number again is 888-818-4777. we have operators standing by and ready to take your call. You can also support us by going to our website, liftupjesus.com/reach. That address again is liftupjesus.com/reach and then the word reach.
Hi, my name is Kathy, and I lead the Anchor Cancer Support Group here at Shepherd Church. On August 17th, 2011, I heard the words that nobody wants to hear, and that is, I had cancer. And when I had that diagnosis, I did not want to share it with anybody, but God had a different plan in that for me. And so it was pretty clear that during my surgery, my chemo, my radiation, all the side effects that I experienced, and even losing my hair, that God knew that I was going to be where I am today. The things that I experienced when I was going through my journey, by getting love from other people, getting food, getting prayers, even provisions that I didn't expect, was such a blessing to me that I knew that I had to turn it around and give it to others. So God put it on my heart to lead a cancer support life group in my home. We call on each other, we take each other to our doctor's appointments, and we pray for each other right before we're getting ready to go in for our treatments or our scans. We also provide food and support for them during their journey. Later on, when I was ready to start the group, God gave me the name Anchor. And I know now why. Because when you think of an anchor, you know that it is linked to a chain. And the members of this group are the links of that chain, that we're linked on to one another, strong, standing firm to our Father, who is our anchor. And together, we walk this journey with them through this storm, knowing that we need to depend on each other and through our Father in heaven. This group is for everyone. If you're going through cancer, if you've already gone through all of your treatments and you are in remission, it's also for those that are part of the family. Maybe it's you're the caregiver. Maybe it's your coworker. It also could be for the spouse or the children. And more important, this group is for those that have lost someone, that have finally gone to see our Father in heaven. And they come back and they share their journey and they love on one another because they've walked that. There are 1.5 million people in Los Angeles County living with some form of cancer. And I am so grateful to Shepherd Church for opening up their doors to allow us to have this amazing ministry here. The people of this community need this ministry, and we are so happy to be able to have it here so that we can give them hope and encouragement during their journey. If any of you are interested in attending any of our support groups, either in person or on Zoom, please contact me, Kathy Alonso, at 831-9333. For meeting times and our location, you can also visit us at shepherdchurch.com. Just click on Connect, scroll down to Support Groups, and there you'll find Anchor Cancer Support Group. And if any of you are interested in even starting up your own cancer support group, we're here to help. We'll show you everything you need to know and how to get started, whether you're a pastor, small group leader, or like myself, just want to start a support group, we can help. Visit us at shepherdchurch.com.
Hi, everyone. My name is Derek Lopez, and I'm one of the youth pastors here at Shepherd Church. And at Shepherd Church, we have something called Shepherd Youth, which is specifically for our middle schoolers and our high schoolers. And one thing that we would love to provide for you and your family is a thing called D groups. And D groups are life groups designed specifically for 6th to 12th graders. And so if you have a middle schooler or a high schooler, we highly recommend putting your student in this. Why? Because it's a great way for your students to be known, seen, and loved. Students at D groups will spend time in worship and a short Bible lesson followed by a discussion with their community of other students and an adult mentor. They meet every Wednesday during the school year at our Porter Ranch and Simi Valley campuses. If you're interested, go ahead and visit our website, shepherdyouth.com/dgroups, for more information.
I'm Kyle Welch, inviting you to join us tomorrow at this same time as we again lift up Jesus with Pastor Dudley.
three-star general, Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.